Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
For this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you. The better, stay in tune with the thoughts that you choose. Oh, let's pray that these words we are saying will bring joy and happiness to someone.
As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday to consciously come into community, to connect with the hearts and minds across the airwaves in the field of infinite intelligence, in the divine, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent spirit, energy, life force that is God. As we intentionally set the purpose to honor the presence, honor that creative life force that is right where we are, as we recognize it for all that it is in us as us. I'm always mindful of Mary and Martha. When Martha was complaining, because Mary was sitting down listening to the word that Jesus was sharing, as opposed to helping her with the preparations. And Jesus said, do not take away her good portion. She has chosen rightly. And so as we take the time to consciously carve out this little moment in our busy weeks to deepen in our awareness, in our understanding, in our connection, to nurture and nourish our soul, well done for choosing the right portion. So we continue with our deep dive into understanding the archetypes, this inherited patterns of thought that is derived from all the past experiences of the whole race, the whole human race throughout time. It is there in the collective unconscious, and it's what guides us. It's what influences our behavior. And I don't know about you, but I truly am fascinated as I've been doing the research and looking into investigating how these archetypes are influencing us. And I can see how both the constructive and destructive aspects have played out in my life. And so we continue this week with the seventh archetype, which is known as the revolutionary, according to the ones that we are following by Carol S. Pearson. Now, the revolutionary is also known as the destroyer, which means to destroy that which is in the way, to make way for what it's wanting to be. It's also known as the troubleshooter, that sees problems and drawbacks and defects in the way things are done and looks to how to improve them. And the rebel who likes to think outside the normal conventions, who takes risks, or the initiate who sacrifices the ordinary to gain something better. The challenger who looks at questions that are tried and true and try and present opposite viewpoints. The radical who fights against the way things are presently to create a better or desirable future. It's also known as the game changer who initiates radical innovations that changes the way things are, the way the realities are in the marketplace. Or the outlaw, someone who disobeys the laws and can harm others just to adopt a bad or good boy-girl image. So I'm going to use a revolutionary or rebel interchangeably because I feel that's the one that we can most easily and readily identify with. So the revolutionary or rebel is an individual who feels most fulfilled when they can change something that they feel needs to be changed. They are the unconventional thinkers who develop new and cutting-edge approaches. They enjoy challenging the status quo, and they like to motivate others to think differently. They're excited and challenged when they can take things that are the tried and true methods and improve upon them. But they're not just rebellious. They have proved sometimes that they can be shocking and outrageous, but at the same time brave and courageous. They are bold. They are risk takers. They can be disruptive yet helpful. And so we can see more and more of these revolutionaries, these rebels in what's now kind of called the counterculture. The characters as they break up traditions and often help the marginalized. This rebel character stands firm against the tide, refusing to accept things just as they are. Always wanting things to be better. They have an unwavering belief in justice, and they dedicate themselves to leveling the playing field, challenging the existing order of things. They're not always in leadership positions, and many of them embody the everyman and the anti-hero persona, which makes their rebellious act even more impactful. What you may or may not see is the revolutionaries are seen actively as working to reform social systems. They are the advocates for change. And I know even as I'm sharing this with you, you can think of many examples, and we will look at that shortly. The rebel can also be frustrating for those who like comfort and like to stay in their comfort zone. It can cause friction or confusion. They possess an intrinsic resilience and resourcefulness, drawing others to support their cause and to inspire movements for change. This archetypal character serves as a mirror, reflecting the collective frustrations and aspirations of society. We can see that throughout their struggles and triumphs, rebels or revolutionaries challenge us to consider our values and our courage to uphold them. They exemplify the individual's potential to resist internal and external tyranny, and to strive for a more authentic existence. The rebel archetype, or the revolutionary archetype, reminds us that sometimes, in order to bring about justice and fairness, one must be willing to stand against the tide and shake things up. So the typical rebel or revolutionary archetype characteristics is that they speak out against oppression and injustice. They like to be independent. They are unconventional in necessarily how they bring things about. They like to challenge the normal system, and they're bold and favor distinct designs. They are creative with their style. Their words are uncensored and say things no one else is willing to. They are often misunderstood. They're willing to take new risks. They do things differently because they want to break up tradition. They live by their own rules. They are highly sensitive to social issues. And sometimes they can find it hard to connect with others on a personal level. As with every archetype, we can see the light, but we can also see the shadow. And the shadow side of a rebel stroke revolutionary archetype can include self-destructive behaviors and addictions, compulsions, or activities that undermine intimacy, or their career success, or their self-esteem. They lack power and resources. Rebels tend to make up their own rules and sometimes can cause a lot of dissent within the group. They have trouble working for long periods of time with team members. They don't easily develop bonds of trust with others and may go through life without any real serious connections or deep lasting friendships. The rebel is very risky and can make dangerous decisions that may harm themselves or those around them. So, as I've shared, this is part of the collective consciousness. And so we can see that when writers are producing characters, they will take particular archetypes to emphasize that trait that they are wanting to put over. So when we think about film, the obvious archetype that comes to mind that we all must be familiar with is Robin Hood. Robin Hood truly shook up the time at his time to rob from the rich to give to the poor. He did not believe in the system as it was then. We can think of again in film Han Solo in the Star Wars trilogy. He again was a smuggler and then changed to become part of the rebellion. Or even in more recent times, Erin Brockovich, who was a paralegal who saw what was happening with the gas and electric company and decided to work with a case to take them to court for the way people were suffering as a result. And then when you want to think of brands, how the marketing tries to capture the rebel revolutionary archetype within people, they're producing products that do not conform to the typical industry conventions like Apple or Virgin or Diesel or Uber or Tesla. And then if you want to think of musicians, the particular type of rebel archetypes, you can think of Pink or Kanye West or Sid Vicious or Miley Cyrus. You can see how these archetypes that we are looking at, how they influence and how they are used to influence us, in from what we watch to what we buy to how we show up. So my poem is by Rivera's son from Rebel Song. The rebel is a mother with a child inside her. The rebel is a daughter falling in love. The rebel is a man with his head held high. The rebel is you. The rebel is I. When the world says die, the rebel lives. When the powerful say kneel, the rebel stands. When society says go, the rebel comes close. When they dictate despair, the rebel hopes. When they outlaw life, the rebel thrives. And when they mandate hate, the rebel loves. no roof but the stars, no bed but the ground, no home but this earth, no friend but truth. This is the song of the rebel. So as I was looking to find sacred text to support this archetype, everything that I came across spoke derogatively of the rebel. So let me share first one from Isaiah 39. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord. And we can all think of various examples, beginning with Adam and Eve, who rebelled against what God told them to do, to Moses, the children walking in the desert for 40 years because they rebelled, and so on and so forth. But I thought, let me look into what is the metaphysical meaning of rebellion. And this is what it said. It's open defiance and resistance to an authority which one owes allegiance. One rebels because he believes he's not being rightly governed. His conditions are not satisfactory. Man has been taught that God brought him sickness, poverty, and harmony, and that these conditions are the will of God. While he recognizes that God is supreme ruler and governor of all things, man rebels at such conditions being imposed upon him. As soon as man comes into the understanding that his own thoughts and words are the cause of the conditions in his life, he no longer rebels and blames God. He uses his creative thoughts, that creative power, to set his word into right activity, and good comes into his life. I much prefer that metaphysical interpretation, that what we are rebelling against is what we have been taught in traditional theology. We are worms of the dust, that we are being punished, that God is judging us. Those short, narrow, limited concepts of the divine is truly worth rebelling against. And owning our true divine nature, knowing that we are powerful, knowing that we are creative, that our thoughts, that our words are creating our reality. I want to share a few quotes from you. Albert Camus says, the only way to deal with an unfree world is to become so absolutely free that your very existence is an act of rebellion. And Indira Gandhi, who says, rebels and nonconformists are often the pioneers and designers of change. So for my stories, I want to give you a few examples of rebels and revolutionaries throughout time. We know that the rebels are found at the forefront and the front lines of the movements that bring about change in human rights or legislation or business. And they inspire us with their courage and willingness to challenge conventions and structures, sometimes to the risk of their own lives. So we have Martin Luther, the originator of the Reformation. He believed that the Roman Catholic Church had become corrupt, and he proposed a different kind of theology. And according to legend, he nailed 95 theses on the church door at Wittenberg. And Protestantism and the Reformation proved one of the most transformative forces in history. He was born and lived till 1483 to 1546. Then we have Galileo Galilei from 1564 to 1642, who was one of the key figures of the scientific revolution. Before him, it was widely believed that the sun revolved around the earth, and he dared to argue the complete opposition. Despite the scorn from the Roman Catholic Church, Galileo stands for the belief that scientific inquiry must be pursued even if what it reveals is uncomfortable. I certainly remember that from studying Galileo a while back. He was threatened with being excommunicated, which at that time was always the worst thing. He was imprisoned whilst the church tried to use all manners of persuasion to get him to change. Then we have Toussaint Louverture, one of the key figures in the anti-colonial politics. Toussaint Louverture, from 1743 to 1803, was a leader during the Haitian Revolution, the insurrection by which slaves eventually defeated Napoleon Bonaparte's France and secured Haiti's independence in 1804. Even though he secured the independence, the French colonialists made sure Haiti stayed impoverished by all manner of rules and orders that they kept to strangulate. But when you see and you read how people fought against injustice, you cannot help but be inspired. Then we have Emily Davidson, who was a prominent suffragette, best known for her radical and often militant attitude, fighting for women's rights. During her life, she was arrested on 9 occasions and became a notable member of the Women's Social and Political Union. Her gravestone bears the WSPU slogan, "Deeds, not words." March is the Women's History Month, so it is good that we can nod to Emily Davidson, who for many of us, if not for her, would not have the right to vote. Whether we do so or not, it was hard, fought for, and won. And of course, there's Mahatma Gandhi in India, 1869 to 1948, who brought down the British Empire with a radical strategy of nonviolence. He championed civil rights of the ordinary Indian people and became an architect in their independence. For people who do not understand the depth to which colonialism and imperialism, the effects it had on the countries from which they controlled and the wealth that they stole, it is worth investigating. And of course, how could we not forget Martin Luther King, who was an activist and philosopher in the civil rights movement, and even young Malala Yousafzai, who again was a human rights activist for the education advancement of women in Pakistan, where the Taliban had banned girls from attending school. Whether it's science or civil rights or voting, you can see clear examples of the rebel revolutionary archetype in each of those. And I've always shared, whilst we're not called to be the next Mother Teresa or Gandhi or Martin Luther King, we can certainly stand up for injustices, for inequities, wherever they may be found. And so my Science of Mind reading is entitled No Greater Power. The first quote is from Marianne Williamson. As we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence actually liberates others. Ernest Holmes, from Living the Science of Mind. There is a power for good in the universe, greater than you are, and you can use it. The author writes, anyone who knows me knows I love superheroes. One of the first to profoundly affect me spiritually was Spider-Man. When Peter Parker's Uncle Ben tells him, with great power comes great responsibility, I immediately connected to a lesson from Bible study. To whom much is given, much is required. Whatever we have that we call our gifts, talents, skills, blessings, etc., we are called to bring into the world. We are called to be the living embodiment of our spiritual magnificence and to live it out loud, not to hide it under a bushel or within the walls of our centers. What does it look like to unleash the full expansiveness of our God selves into our lives? Living in an open, authentic, transparent manner, as Marianne Williamson says, gives others permission to do the same. We create the tipping point where the new mass consciousness is that of health, well-being, abundance, joy, and peace. The old consciousness of lack, scarcity, racism, sexism, political animosity, homophobia, and more all become what we read about in history books. When Home says there is a power for good in the universe greater than you are, I believe he is referring the allness of God as being greater. It is greater in that it is not bound or limited by time, duality, death, but rather is everywhere present all at once eternally. And that presence and power is right now individualizing itself as you. That's how powerful you are. Just want to allow those beautiful sentiments to resonate within your being. That you are the presence and power right here, right now. And so as we go within to affirm our reflective meditation this morning, I invite you to close your eyes if you haven't already. To bring your attention to the breath, the gentle inhalation, exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. Always I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. 'Tis the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So as we take the next three deep breaths in, let us be cognizant that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. Inhale, lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and breathe in the life-giving, energizing breath of God. Hold. Gently, slowly release. Inhale. Hold. For the third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly release. This morning's reflective, affirmative meditation is entitled Holy. Holy Uprising by Reverend Raymond Anderson. Affirm. Breathing, I quiet the busyness of my mind, the racing of lists and agendas, and I center in the breath. Feeling the inhalation and exhalation, I recognize this breath. My breath is the breath of spirit. Spirit, source, God is breathing itself as me. As I breathe, I allow my current awareness to stretch. my awareness of life and my place in life stretches into the expansiveness of Source, the one mind. In this expansiveness, there is no separation. There is only one life. Giving rise to this, I expand into greater and greater degrees of showing up. I am showing up in more authentic, transparent, life-affirming ways that honor all of the individualized expressions of God as people, animals, nature, all existence. I bow in reverence to God in all of its many expressions. It is because of this reverence that I recognize and feel the active rising up of the divine as it incarnates in, through, and as me in each and every eternal moment. I feel the power of my thoughts and know what is in my mind must be in the one mind. I feel the impact and importance of my life, and I know my life to be an outpicturing of the one life. I am acutely and intimately aware of the rising up of joy, love, passion, and bliss. And the more I recognize it, the more it rises to meet my mental equivalent, my level of conscious awareness and acceptance. Knowing this, I again stretch my awareness to the expansiveness of spirit as the absolute wholeness expressing in all areas of my life. Wherever I go, the holy, holy uprising of God is demonstrated. In all the ways I show up in the world, God is showing up. I am the uprising, the outpicturing, the holy, holy divine body of God. And as the individualized expression of the One, I allow my life to be my message. I move in ways that demonstrate my faith, because I know faith is action. Immeasurable gratitude fills me, because because I know this affirmative, reflective meditation is already answered, and so it is. Take a deep breath in as you allow those beautiful, inspiring words to resonate within your being, within your spirit. And as we enter into our circle of prayer, you are invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. We know that God, the divine, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent life force is everywhere present, eternally at every point in space and time. There is nowhere where God is not. And this morning, let us rebel against any thoughts of limitations, any fears or disbeliefs, any sense of separation that we may be holding, harboring, that we are separate from the divine, that we are limited, that we are somehow not worthy or enough. Let us rebel against anything that makes us feel less than. As we continue with our understanding and awareness of the various archetypes, aspects that are in the collective consciousness and that express in and through us at various times, let us embrace those aspects, those characteristics that allow us to express the holy, holy, the sacred, the divine, the ground of our being, God in us, as us. As we stand for what is right, what is fair, what is just, what is equitable. Let us resist the shadow side of addictions, of self-destruction, of limitation. As we traverse this plane called Earth, let us seek to embrace and embody the allness, the fullness, the totality of the God life that is right where we are, that is eternal and unchanging. People are striving to understand their purpose and their reason for being. It is simple. We are here to express and know the God life that is our life. We are here to express and manifest all that spirit is, and we know that spirit is love. Mother, Father, God, as we consciously come into communion this morning, shedding off anything and everything that no longer serves us, that no longer is truly a part of the expression of the life force, of your energy, of your spirit, embracing and embody those aspects that affirm all that we are here, all that we are purposed for, all that we are meant to express. We are so grateful for this opportunity to shed anything that does not serve you, to embrace, to embody, to express your light, your life, your love. As we look at the various archetypes that we are expressing and exhibiting, may we do whatever work is necessary upon ourselves, so that we can truly be the sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are living in complicated and complex times, where the need for the love, the light, the Christ Spirit, to express is more and more and more in need and demand. And whilst it may be challenging to hold the vision of a world that works, we start by recognizing that we are the vessel, we are the conduit, we are the channel through which peace, equity, love, oneness, acceptance for ourselves and for each other must start. Let us rebel against anything that makes us see otherwise, see our brothers and sisters as the other, that makes us see separation and division. Let us look at what unifies us, that we all share your life. As we hold the vision for peace, for love, for acceptance, for oneness, we start it within ourselves, sharing it within families and friends, our communities, to our nations, to the wider world. Let us always remember that right where we are that place where you shine through. For your infinite grace, your eternal blessings, your endless mercies, we are ever, ever, ever grateful. And so it is. So it is, and so it is. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our affirmations and Buddhist reflections. So let us reaffirm our science of mind affirmation. Repeat after me. I accept my power.
I accept my power.
I affirm my power.
I affirm my power.
I declare my power.
I declare my power.
I live my power.
I live my power.
My power is that of source.
My power is that of source.
And I use it effectively.
And I use it effectively.
Lovingly and wisely. Our Buddhist reflections, if anyone has hurt or harmed me.
If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed. I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone. Knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word, or deed. I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I'm at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful. May they be free.
May they be free.
Our prayer intention, I am the light of God.
I am
the light,
of God.
Within and without.
Within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly. Our rumination for this week, Rumi says, respond to every call that ignites your spirit. My closing benediction. Almighty and ever-living God, you invite us deeper into your world, your people, your Lent. May this time of both inner focus to know you and one of outward focus, seeking you in those we often ignore, help us to live a Lent focused on freedom, generosity, and encounter. Give us hearts hungry to serve you and those who need what we have to give. So my closing song this morning is by Tasha Cobbs Leonard and Sierra, entitled In Spite of Me, Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.